everyone, and welcome to the Trade Addicts Podcast, where the first step is admitting you have a problem. Please welcome your hosts for today's session, Dynasty Outhouse and Brian Haar.
Good morning, evening, afternoon, whatever it happens to be whenever you're listening to this. I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I am Brian Haar, and I also have a trading problem.
And I'm Rod, and I also have a trading problem.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for your little admittance to start the show. We have another guest with us. Apparently, either people like us or just want to use us for our airwaves. Either way, I'm happy to have someone care about our show. So, Rod, introduce yourself.
How's it going? I'm Rod, originally from Jersey, from where you guys are at.
Represent.
I'm in Wisconsin now, but host my own podcast, Top Shelf DFF. Just here to talk fantasy, man.
All right, cool. So how long have you been playing fantasy in general?
In general, probably 10 years now. If you're going to ask me how serious I've gotten, probably the last 6 years I've really started getting serious about it.
And when did you make the jump to Dynasty?
This year.
Ooh. Man, you,
nice newbie.
Yeah, you've been bugging me about Trade Addicts Leagues, I think, since the first. So, I mean, that's ballsy.
Yeah.
Nice. I like it. All right, so you have a young fledgling Dynasty career, so this might be a little, I don't know if it's easy or hard for you, but what is the best trade and the worst trade you've made for Dynasty?
My best trade was probably getting CMC because he's an asset that I can sell for more pieces if I need to, but he's also a piece that I can use. You know what I mean? Like I could start him along with my Jordan Howard and all the other guys that I have. My worst one? Anything that I give up a first round pick with.
Again, with the first round picks being the worst. Why do you think they're your worst?
Because I feel like firsts are so valuable. So say I misjudge my team year one and I have to kind of make up the difference at the end of the year when the new draft comes along. Now I don't have a one. Like you don't get a top fledged player there. You know?
I think this is like the fourth show in a row we've talked about it, but Brian and I are first traders because we figure we could always get them back. It's another thing, if you ever actually have patience, you know, first round picks, all picks in general, get more expensive the closer you get to the draft. But they still seem very viable until the combine probably. So I'm fine selling mine only the second they're available and then buying back around a few weeks after the season ends. More of a short investment, we'll say, the price you can get back from selling your first. But, you know, apparently we're hearing some horror stories about trading your first, so maybe I'm wrong.
Well, and like we said last week on the show, you know, the different ways that people build their teams, that provides opportunities for trades for the addicts like us that are always looking to make deals. You know, if you have someone that values those firsts and then someone who maybe doesn't value them as much or who values them but uses them to acquire, you know, more proven assets, that creates an opportunity in leagues. So I don't think there's a right or a wrong way per se. I just think that, you know, the differences in the way that guys run their team, again, that opens opportunities for deals. So I like hearing that variance. You know, with our guests and with us, you know, again, just having that opportunity to make those deals and make our teams better. That's what makes this stuff fun. So
our Brian is always so positive and always so logical.
Ultimate optimist, buddy.
Yeah, that's why we keep you around.
Yes, sir.
All right, Rod, what is your one rule extend by early to trade?
So I'm a huge believer in karma. Truth believer in karma. Don't try to rob somebody every single time you trade them. Like, don't, because in the end it's just bad. Whether it's you're gonna get, you know, robbed in a different trade, somebody's gonna get hurt, it's karma. It's a real thing,
man. It's really weird to see an addict like you seem to be so big picture. You know, I always, that's one of my weaknesses, is not looking at the whole team as a whole. It's, you know, if there's a deal in front of me, I evaluate that deal and that's it. Well, I guess early in the off season, it's not that big of a deal, but during the season, that's really when it's a problem. No, but those are good. That's a good lesson for people to learn. All right, so now on to news and notes. Not too much. CJ Anderson signed with the Carolina Panthers. I have been telling every McCaffrey owner that this is just the death knell for him. Yeah, CJ is going to take all the work, all the passing work. McCaffrey's just going to be riding the bench. And I will do them the favor of taking Christian McCaffrey off of their roster for them for a moderate price. And since clearly I'm making stuff up as I go along, how do you guys, Rod, what do you think about CJ Anderson? Do we care that he actually signed anywhere?
I care because he now becomes an asset that you can trade. Before he signed, you were just kind of like wishing on a prayer that you can either trade him or you're going to have to cut him, right? So in terms of that, he becomes an asset, but he's pretty much Jay Stewart, and Jay Stewart did nothing for CMC against his value.
Yeah, I guess that's the realistic answer. Are you trading for him at all?
No.
All right, and if you had him on your roster, what kind of value do you think you can get for him?
I think you can get a 2019 3 maybe, or 2. Depends, because if the CMC owner's like, man, I need his handcuff, you got to find somebody. Like, you look through somebody's roster and you're like, well, he cuffed this guy, so he probably wants to cuff this guy. I'm going to target that guy.
Good call. That's goes back to our second show where we had our traits about good trade habits, bad trade habits. Looking at everyone else's roster is a great way to start trade talks and gives you an idea of who you could trade to who.
For sure.
Brian, you're being awfully quiet. Do you like CJ Anderson?
No, I like Christian McCaffrey though. I'm trying.
He's done. It's over.
Yeah, I'm trying to do the same thing. As soon as news I sent out offers pretty much in every league that I'm in to see if I could get him for not cheap, but a more reasonable price maybe than before the Anderson signing. You guys covered the way that I feel about it too. I don't like this signing. I don't expect him to really cut into McCaffrey's role whatsoever. Slides right into that Daisy role. He's going to get some goal line carries, you know, and he's coming off a 1,000-yard season, quietest one in the history of the league, I believe. I'm not really buying him. I would say if I owned Anderson, you know, like Rod said, he kind of maybe has some value, even if you're not able to trade him. I would look for the McCaffrey owners or somebody that just, you know, has no running backs on their roster or whatever, and, you know, sell the touchdown thing.
Breaking news today is that Mark Ingram, running back for the New Orleans Saints, has gotten a 4-game ban for performance-enhancing drugs. Now, Brian and I have Mark Ingram on our Trade Addicts team for the Podcasters League. And right after, hey, Mark Ingram got suspended, 3 messages, you selling? What do you want? What do you want for Ingram? And so, does this guy getting suspended affect what you would do with him in Dynasty?
I don't have any shares of Mark Ingram, and I'm not a big Mark Ingram fan.
What does he have to do to make you like him? He's top 10 running back for the past, like, 13 years.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree with where he ranks in the fantasy world. I just feel like where he's getting taken, I can get somebody else. Right. So like when he comes up to the board, I'm like, I want this guy a little bit more. I'm a big wide receiver guy too. For me, I can deal with the RB2s if I have 3 wide receiver ones on my squad. You know what I mean? Like, I'm cool with that. Right, and yeah. Especially if I have that stack that I'm talking about, like a Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams. I'll take that and I'll wait for my running back.
All right, so now we know that you don't like the guy, so I'm guessing you're not running out to try and trade
for him. Oh, I would not mind going to trade for him if I could get him at a cheaper value. For sure, I would.
Okay, let's say you were going out to offer someone for Mark Ingram. What would you offer them right now?
I'd probably, if I was still in rookie draft, I'd offer him a low round one, like a 112, 111, 110.
All right, Brian, we have Mark Ingram in this draft. Superflex, we'll say. Was it 112 buying Mark Ingram from us?
Yes.
Wow. I mean,
can we
send a nice counter for like the 108? Yeah. Maybe. You really think the 112 was that
the offer?
No, we didn't actually get an offer.
Yeah, 110. I'll offer you 110.
Yeah, we can counter. I mean,
see, there you go. That's how you negotiate, guys. 112 to 108, 110. Bam, sold.
Yep. Yeah. No. I would also do that. I mean, a late first for him. You know, it just depends. I mean, it does depend though on the league setup too. I would have a harder time buying him in a super flex league, because the types of guys that you're gonna get, and our Trade Addicts leagues are super flex, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that league is too, the pod league.
Oh yeah, how we leave that out? Rod is in Trade Addicts 3.
Yes,
by the way.
I am.
Slip of the mind on that one. Okay, Mark Ingram, go.
So, yeah, I would have a harder time, I think, in Superflex than I would in a traditional dynasty league, just because, you know, you're looking at least four quarterbacks probably taken in that first round. So you're talking about, with the 112, the eighth best, like, skill position player, right? So,
all right, so you're saying,
but like, I would not take Mark Ingram over Christian Kirk, or
what about Royce Freeman? You know, that whole row of Ronald Jones.
I'd take him over Jones because I'm not a Jones fan, but.
Here's my thing, though. Let's also not forget that Mark Ingram is in his final year, and he's proven that he could be a workhorse back. So if I give you the one, if I'm going, I'll give you the 110. I'm buying Mark Ingram on the prospect that after next year, he's landing an RB1 spot, period, point blank. It's not even a question.
Yeah, and that's a great point, Rod. I think, you know, I think there's a good chance that he has work next year. It may not be in New Orleans, but
right.
But yeah, I mean, he's shown that he can be a workhorse back that gets it done. So yeah, I mean, that's a great point. I mean, if you're out there and you believe that he's going to get a job and that it's going to be a good scenario where he can go in and be the lead guy, then yeah, he's probably worth the pick.
All right, and a little bit of a jump, but do you want Alvin Kamara getting workhorse numbers? I think that's the idea of that scares me. Let me just say that. What do you?
All right, so I posted on Twitter literally like right after this happened, and I said I don't want to be like the Debbie Downer, but I'm not huge into the thought of Alvin Kamara being a three down back. Like, I don't think he can take the rigors, because even at the end of last year, he had a couple injuries. He had the concussion. You know what I mean? And that's actually bad luck, right? But he was mm-hmm. getting the ball a ton. And if you notice, like, usually when Ingram got hurt a little bit, and that's when Michael Thomas started to emerge a little more. So I think this year you're going to see a lot of Michael Thomas, at least for the first four games, which, I mean, you could drop Alvin Kamara down a little bit, but not much. But I'm not huge on the prospect of him being a three-down back, not at all.
Yeah, I don't want that to happen. And I don't think this four games is going to change anything in Kamara's value. But I was just curious if anyone else agreed with me about the not wanting Kamara to get the ball that much. So I'm glad you do.
I'm not sure that I do, though.
Nobody cares about it.
So give us your thought on it. Why?
Well, here's the thing. I think if he's the only back that they're using, period, okay, then yeah, I'm worried about it. If they mix, I think Jonathan Williams there? Is that who's there? Yep. Yeah. So, you know, if they mix him in a series or. Yeah. So, I mean, I think, you know, as long as he's not the only back that's touching the ball, right, then I'm not really all that concerned. Again, and I know this is kind of like this. I don't know why I'm doing this so much tonight, but Alvin Kamara is 5'10", 215.
Mm-hmm.
Shady McCoy, 5'11", 210.
And how's that dude's hamstring?
Okay, that's fair, but he's also not 22 years old. At 22...
And close the internet. Stop pulling these numbers. If you have these in your head, that's fine. But close the internet, man.
The internet is free resources, dude.
We don't get off of Wikipedia.
No, but I mean, I like Kamara a lot. I would be worried if he's the only back they're using. If they're still mixing in other guys. Now, he's obviously – I don't know what that split was last year. I think it was like 60-40 Ingram to Kamara, somewhere in that range, 65-35. I'm not exactly sure what it was. But certainly Kamara is going to be on the higher end of things, you know, those first four games. I mean, he's going to be the guy that's carrying the ball. But as long as it's not, you know, 75-80% of the carries, then I'm not too concerned because Ingram's going to come back after four games. At least this season. I mean, if he moves on, obviously, then, you know, then we'll see what happens with that backfield. But I don't know. I mean, I long term, yes, I would be concerned, but I'm not looking super long term. I'm trying to win fantasy championships within a 3-year window. That's what I usually look at. I mean, obviously, when you're dealing with assets and trading guys and whatnot, if I get a guy that's 5 years younger that's going to produce the same, obviously I'm going to consider that. But, you know, I try to keep it to that 3-ish window. I think Kamara will be fine. Even if he's a workhorse for the next couple of years, I think he'll be fine. Moving forward, maybe not.
All right, speaking of moving forward, segues.
You're welcome.
you set me up, I knock him down. All right, today's show is going to be about rebuilds.
Dude, can I stop you there for just a second? I really thought you were going to go into an advertisement there. That sounded like I was getting really excited because we haven't
today's
talked.
Today's show yet. Brought to
well,
you
we haven't
by...
talked for a couple of days, like, you know, I wasn't sure there. Maybe you like set something up in between, so I was getting really excited there. So now you're going to let me down here.
Well,
maybe. We'll see.
Now I don't want to keep talking because I don't think I could live up to that.
All right. Sorry about that.
All right. Well, I had no idea what to talk about in today's show, so I threw it on Twitter and someone gave me a great obvious answer that for some reason I never thought of, and that is rebuilds. And it is obvious to me that it should have been on my mind because I have like four of them. I have a problem with people putting orphans on Twitter and not getting responses. I feel bad. It's like a real child that's just being left out there. Nobody, they just want to be loved. And I have too much free time and enjoy the punishment of rebuilding teams. We are going to talk about when you should rebuild, how you should rebuild, and really the overall arcing idea of how to honestly look at your team and decide when, what you are, where you are, and what you need to be. So when to rebuild. Obviously, I already sort of said, whenever you pick up a new team, there's an orphan, the guy before drops out of the league, and you take it over. Usually, people don't leave championship teams behind, so that's to put things nicely. So, Rod, you pick up a team, it's trash, you have Alvin Kamara and nobody else worthwhile. What do you do with this team?
I go to obviously you check out the landscape. Who's in first, second, third, who has the first, second, third best roster. And I'm eyeing whoever's like in that third, fourth range that is like, dude, if I had this one piece, I could probably make it to the top. Like, but you're not selling to the number one guy where he has him and now he's running the league for like 4 years. So that's where I go. And I always try to get more. If I'm giving Kamara, I want something, assets without giving anything. So I don't care about swapping a third for a second. I'm keeping my second. Like, I'm giving you Kamara to make your run. You're giving me more than I'm giving, period.
All right. Are you a guy that will trade a guy like Kamara for straight picks? Or do you feel like you need a player back in return as well?
So if it would depend, obviously it would depend on the pick. So if this year, if you would have told me this year, if I was getting 102 and 103 or 104, I would probably take like 104, 108. Because for some reason, it seems like every orphan I pick up, people have multiple first round picks.
Weird.
It's
right?
So weird. But it's like teams that won the championship and like came in second. Like, how did you give these guys this many picks and they still beat you? So if it was like that, maybe if it was this draft class, it's also like, for me, I like to check the college landscape, who might come out, who's the top dog coming out. Like I've said it 20 times in TA3, I'm a 2020 guy. Like that 2020 class of running backs, sheesh. So I want as many 2020 first round picks as possible.
Damn. That's really looking big picture.
Yeah. I feel like that's what you have to do if you take an orphan, you know? Because if you suck, you're not going to make a run in 2019.
That's very true. But hold on, Brian was trying to send you praise.
No, I love that running back class as well. I'm with you. I think next year's a much better receiving class than what we had this year. But that 2020 running back class with Akers and Taylor and those guys, I mean,
AJ Dillon.
Yes, it's gonna be. All right, it's gonna be awesome.
Wipe up the drool. Let's not derail too much. All right, but trade for future picks. There you go. That's what we'll get out of that little tangent we just took. I did this in Norfin. I took over. I sold Le'Veon Bell. You said the 104, 108. I traded Le'Veon Bell for the 104 and 108, which is a little light, but that is something I'm willing to do in a rebuild, is get what I can when I can, because having Le'Veon Bell on my team is a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really want to score points, assuming you have your first-round pick still. So I traded Le'Veon Bell before this class that I knew I liked, and before the season started, before the rookie draft, and I got as many picks and as high as picks as I possibly could. Like you said, if you like the class and it's a decent range of picks, selling a stud for just picks is not the worst thing in the world, especially on a major rebuild, which mine was.
Yeah, I just had an orphan, and I had no first-round picks. I sold Christian McCaffrey for Dalvin Cook and 106. Then I flipped Dalvin Cook for 109, Corey Davis, and somebody else. I turned 109 into 104 and ended up getting Rashad Penny and Royce Freeman.
That's some good work there.
Yeah, again, if I had the soundboard, I have to get a soundboard, because that's two episodes in a row I needed to give someone a standing ovation, and I have no standing ovation noises, and I'm too lazy to stand up.
Yeah, that's a heck of a job there.
Yeah, man, and right on brand for us. You flip all those pieces you just get. I did a trade in this hyperactive league I joined, the same one with Le'Veon Bell. I traded the 106 for the 110 and Nelson Aguilar. I thought I rocked this trade. I was thrilled it happened. I'm like, I put every trade on Twitter. But I'm like, I'm putting this on Twitter, and I'm hitting 80-20, man. And I lost the poll. A lot of people were saying that in that big of a rebuild, in any rebuild really, they just want the picks. They want, you know, all future assets. They don't really even want any players. In my mind, what are you building around? You build around young wide receivers. Nelson Aguilar is a young wide receiver who, in my mind, will be worth a lot more next year than he is right now. So I thought I was making a killer move, but the internet didn't like it, so now I hate it. What do you guys feel about that? Are you the guys that will only trade for picks, or will you insert players into your rebuild as well?
Personally, for me, it depends on the rebuild, but I would take a young, like I would have taken like a D.D. Westbrook, who I know is gonna be good. It's just gonna, like Nelson Aguilar, like we've seen him, you know what I mean? Like we've seen Nelson Aguilar, like he had a good season last year, don't get me wrong, but he had stellar quarterback play. Like you're not gonna get that everywhere, even if you go somewhere else. Like D.D. Westbrook's playing with Blake Bortles and still putting up numbers. You know, like.
Yeah, I went off about the Jaguars offense being ridiculously muddled last episode, so I'm not going to go into that tirade. But I do also like D.D. Westbrook. Because I build you said you like wide receivers. That's how you build your team. That's how I do it, too. And I think Aguilar, well, I don't think he'll ever be my wide receiver one. I think he could be a nice, solid third wide receiver on my team. And if I could then get a couple of firsts and, you know, with this big boy draft coming up next year, insert Aguilar under hopefully two or three of those guys, I feel like that's how you start a rebuild.
I don't disagree. But you know what you could also look at? Like, somebody may value Nelson Aguilar a little bit more than you do. Boom, you just got another pick somehow. You know what I mean? If you sell him.
Absolutely, yeah.
So.
All right. And that, hold on, that my little tangent time. Everybody should always be on the trading, not the trading block. We're going to start that over. Everybody should be available for sale.
For sure.
I'm in a league. It's mostly, it's a home league, and it's Dynasty, But one guy is, I threw the world at DeAndre Hopkins, and he's like, nope, Nuke is going to retire on my team. I'm like, do you realize, like, I sent, okay, to me, hashtag always Odell 101. I sent Odell plus for DeAndre Hopkins, and the dude just, like, I probably could have added Gurley to the trade, and he still would have said no. Everybody should be available for the right price. Your price could absolutely be higher. Like, just try and get Stefon Diggs from me. I'll trade him to you, but you're paying for him. But everybody should be able to be talked about. But when you are creating your team, even if you get your guy you want to build around, be willing to move him. And be willing to ask for anybody on anybody else's team. Nothing should ever... There shouldn't be off limits, but there should be prices.
Yeah.
That's my tangent. All right. We've been tangenting a lot. So what else did we say? Okay. Knowing how to build your team is an important part of rebuilding. We build around wide receivers, and that is, I would imagine, the same... Your reason is the same as mine. They last longer, and they're more consistent season to season. So, besides wide receiver, which you and I, that's at the top, how do you guys value each position during your rebuild? Do you care who your quarterback or tight end is? Do you care who your running backs are? How do you approach the positions?
Brian, you want to hit this one first?
Yeah, sure. So rebuilds for me are a little bit different than I guess how I typically approach my drafts. I definitely value wide receivers and quarterbacks, actually, especially in super flex leagues here, more so than running backs, tight ends. And it's exactly what we've talked about, the longevity of the position. You know, I want to get a couple of guys that I believe I can build my team around. I think quarterbacks are always in Superflex leagues the most difficult position to get, to acquire. You know, there's only 32 of them, and there's only like 12 of them that are good, if that. So, that are really good, consistent guys you can count on every week to score you points, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm looking to build my teams around quarterbacks, and when I take over a rebuild, that's the first thing I'm looking to do. How can I get a quarterback on my team or multiple quarterbacks on my team that I can build this team around? So if I take care of the quarterback position, then I don't have to worry about it for the next, you know, X number of years, hopefully.
Is that just super flex or in one QB?
No, that's
still going.
No, that's just super flex. Yeah, that's just super flex.
All right, just one.
Yeah, that's just super flex. I mean, we kind of have hit that nail on the head a bunch about one quarterback leagues and totally devaluing the position in those leagues and taking a punt with the QBs. But no, in super flex, I definitely, you know, if I take over a rebuild, I'm trying to acquire quarterback talent if I can. The problem with that is, again, they're usually the hardest thing to acquire, so they're going to take assets to acquire. And in rebuilds, you usually don't have too many assets. So, but like in this class, for example, in the 18 class, there's a couple quarterbacks there towards the front end of the first round of the rookie drafts that I'm doing everything. I have a rebuild right now that I traded some really significant pieces to acquire basically the 1-3 through the 1-6.
Nice.
Didn't have a startable quarterback on my roster, and ended up trading the 1-4 and a couple of seconds for Jared Goff. So that's kind of where it starts for me. Now I do have a couple other pieces on that team that are going to let me do some things, I think, but, that's kind of how I approach it. Quarterbacks and wide receivers in rebuilds in super flex leagues. Traditional dynasty leagues, maybe not the quarterback, obviously not the quarterback as much, wide receiver then, because of the longevity of the position. And Outhouse, going back to what you were saying previously about the Aguilar trade, you were asking if I would, you know, if do we take just picks or, you know, do we consider players? I definitely consider players in those types of deals. depending on how bad the team is, if the team is really awful where I just need to acquire as many assets as possible, take as many chances as possible, then I'm probably looking to flip those pieces. But I absolutely would consider receiving them in a deal, if I felt like I could, you know, either if I felt like I could flip them or if they could slot in somewhere on my team, you know, behind another player or two, like you were saying, with your team there. I think that's a decent strategy too. But definitely wide receivers, I think, because of the longevity of the position.
Yeah. All right. So taking over an orphan is the obvious answer of how or when to rebuild. At what point in a team that you've owned for the past couple of years, at what point do you say, I think I just need to blow this up?
Well, I mean, this is my first year in Dynasty, but I would imagine, like, for me, so the team I took over, like, I look back through the history and all that stuff. This guy was just finishing, like, 8th and 9th and 10th. Like, and he just kept, shipping out picks and all this to get guys that weren't helping. Like, if you consistently, say, one, for me, it would be in year one, if I finished in, like, 4th or 5th, right? That I'm happy with that. I come back next year thinking I'm one piece away and I drop and I go like the 6th or 7th. Now I'm starting to think maybe if next year doesn't go as well as planned, I'm going to have to blow this up. Like, you don't want to be middling around in the middle of the pack. It's probably one of the worst places to be. You either want to be at the top or you want to be at the bottom. That's mm-hmm. it.
Yeah. I definitely agree there. I think, you know, for me, if I'm not a solid playoff contender, meaning I don't think I have a real legitimate chance, not just to make the playoffs, but, you know, hey, I could upset a couple people in there and really make a run. Then I'm looking to see what moves I can make to improve for the following season. And not, I'm not talking about anything that's, you know, deliberately trying to hurt my team, but I'm not focused on, you know, if I'm, you know, like Rod said, if you're in the middle of the pack, especially for multiple seasons, it's time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You never really want to be stuck fighting for the playoffs. To me, that's really what it is. If you're fighting for that 6th seed for a year or two, or if you're making it in the 5th comfortably, like you said, yeah, the middle. I guess we keep saying the same thing in different ways. And I just want to point out that when we say, you know, even when we say blow it up, you're never selling anything for undervalue that would hurt your team, like Brian was saying before. You're not hurting your team. You may just be pushing forward when you will be competing, assuming you actually draft players that aren't awful. Don't be the Browns. So when we say blow up your team and rebuild, we're not saying you're giving up. We're not saying you're going to hurt your team. It's really just pushing the timeline of when your strength will be, because the point is to build a dynasty. It's not supposed to be for 1 year. So pushing it forward isn't giving up. It's not hurting your team. It's still part of the game. And I have a rebuild I'm in year 3 of, and I think it is ridiculously fun, even though I have won a total of 3 games in 3 years. But I do look forward to getting Saquon Barkley very soon.
Nice.
Baquon!
Yep.
Baquon.
Yeah. That's Brian's bag.
Baquon.
All right. Does anybody else have anything to add about rebuilding?
So, something that I did in my Superflex rebuild is I had a pretty good quarterback. So I had Tom Brady on the roster. Then I had, so I forget who it was. It wasn't anybody good. So what I did was I took like a middling starter, like a Sam Bradford, and then I paired him with a super young guy. So like somebody that's just coming up, you know, like a Trubisky or somebody like that. So I don't care about my first starter. Like, I only care about Trubisky. I could give a crap about Sam Bradford. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really care.
Yep.
So I'm not like throwing away and starting like Deshaun Kizer. He's not going to give me any points. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
But you sell the prospect of, listen, Tom Brady still got it. Sell him to somebody who's a piece away. Get yourself a young piece and a pick, maybe. and start a super young QB that may not be there yet. Start Blake Bortles. You know what I mean? Like, you never know. Blake Bortles, I think this is the year Blake Bortles where we're going to find out who Blake Bortles really is. Is he trash? Or are we going to be talking about Blake Bortles again next year? Like, maybe we should be owning Blake Bortles. Like, I took a flyer on Blake Bortles.
He might not be trash, but he's definitely the king of garbage.
Right, you know what I'm saying? So,
hey-o. Sorry.
Hey, they all count the same. They all count the same.
That is...
In fantasy.
Yeah, we know. All right. Yeah, but I agree, especially with Superflex. I have been pairing Trubisky with Philip Rivers everywhere. In both of the first two Trade Addicts drafts, I somehow drafted both of them in both leagues. But yeah, Alex Smith, Sam Bradford. I mean, don't be afraid to go with guys like AJ McCarron. You know, get any starting production where you can, but have that young guy waiting in the wings to be the future of your team.
For sure.
Rock on. Okay, that is enough about rebuilding. Let's rebuild this podcast to talk about trades. That's all we do. So that didn't work. That was fail. All right. I'm leaving that in. Let's talk about trade in Trade Addicts 2. Every single time, 12 team Superflex PPR tight end premium. One day we'll have a trade with a tight end. We're saying tight end premium actually matters. But this week we have Trade Addicts 2. It is Kareem Hunt in a 2019 second for Melvin Gordon and the 202. Now, that trade is someone in this podcast's trade, so we'll let him talk last. And finally, for once, it wasn't me, but we're still going to let Rod go first.
Give me Kareem Hunt. And here's the reason why. Melvin Gordon, let's talk about Melvin Gordon for a second. Well, actually, let's talk about the Chargers for a second. The Chargers have always and will always want a pass catching specialist. Happened with Danny Woodhead. When Danny Woodhead was there, Melvin Gordon wasn't used in a pass game. The next year, Danny Woodhead gets hurt. So yeah, his catches go up, obviously. They didn't have a pass catcher. Then insert Austin Eckler at the end of last season, and Melvin Gordon lost those air touches. I think Melvin Gordon is one of the most overvalued running backs. And I don't dislike him. I just don't think his value is anywhere near Kareem Hunt's. So if you give me Kareem Hunt and a 2019 second, I love it. Give it to me. Because whoever you get at 202, that would be dependent on how your draft falls, obviously. But Kareem Hunt way over Melvin Gordon. And I don't think 202 makes up for it.
I go back and forth on Melvin Gordon. Okay, I have been, because I used to just avoid at all costs. But for some reason, this year, I've been trying to get one share of him, and I had it for about 20 minutes before I flipped him, because I have a problem. I think I would take Melvin Gordon in this one, and it's more because their value is not that different to me. I think you can get a decent flip for Melvin Gordon and still get decent production out of Melvin Gordon. I know I'm a big Eckler, whatever you want to call him, fan. He will take the passing work away, but he will still get, Melvin Gordon will still get that volume. He's still going to be running the ball. He'll get a decent amount of catches, though definitely not, you know, what that year that Woodhead was hurt. But really, it's the 202 in a Superflex, in this year's, I should say, Superflex draft. At the 202, you're walking away with who? I mean, Christian Kirk at the worst. You know, at the best, I mean, not anymore, but I got Royce Freeman, I think, at the 112. So, I mean, you can still get a starting guy in this year's draft at the 202. So I think Melvin Gordon plus Christian Kirk, Melvin Gordon and Christian Kirk can get, I think I would take that over Kareem Hunt. And, you know, at this point, everyone's like, oh, my team's going to be terrible, so it's going to be an early pick. You have no idea what your team is going to be, short of having, you know, a rebuild team.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, especially this league that we know is a startup, we have no idea what teams are going to be next year. So you have to call it a middle. So to me, I would rather take Melvin Gordon and Christian Kirk over Kareem Hunt and a mid-second next year. I don't have strong feelings about it. I don't think anybody won or lost this is a preference trade, really, and clearly we know who Brian's preference is, because he traded away Melvin Gordon, not to me. So Brian, let us know what went through your head when you did this one.
Yeah, so I don't think that the trade is overly weighted to one side or the other either. I think this is another one of those trades, and we talk about them all the time. They seem to go down in the Trade Addicts leagues almost every single time. You know, this is probably a 60-40 type trade, more just based off of preference for me. Melbourne's 25 years old. He last year was...
How tall is he?
No. Last year he had his best season so far. He had around 1,100 yards, I think. Yeah, 1,105 yards rushing, 58 catches, 476 yards. So, fantastic season. Kareem Hunt last year, obviously, is his rookie season. He's only 22 years old. Had 222 yards more rushing on 12 less carries, and he had 5 less receptions. For me, it was just about getting one of these young stud running backs. You know, Gordon, I don't know. I kind of like what Rod said about, you know, San Diego always, Los Angeles now, the Chargers.
I didn't even realize why you were stumbling, because it's so real to me. It's still right to
Yeah.
Me.
So, but the Chargers, they do seem to like to have that pass catching back. Now, 58 catches is a heck of a load last season for Gordon. But I think Kareem Hunt, I expect that number, actually, his 53 catches, to go up. Andy Reid has said he wants to get him more passing down work, even if his total touches are around the same. In that West Coast offense, that Kansas City offense is loaded with talent. So I think they're going to score a ton of points, which means they're going to be down there, you know, in the red zone, which means Hunt's going to have a lot of opportunity. So I like Hunt. I like him enough to do this deal and risk the second for next year being a later second versus the 202 this year. That pick actually in our league, which is kind of interesting, but that pick turned into Mike Gesicki in that league. But that was one of those, the guy went after a guy that he wanted to draft. He mm-hmm. felt like he wanted Gesicki to own Gesicki, and he went after him, and good for him. There were some pretty good players on the board that I was considering at that point, but I just felt like the difference in the situation and the age and the talent of those two running backs, for me, it was worth the risk taking a potential later pick next year for the, you know, added years and, in my opinion, talent that Kareem Hunt gives me over Gordon. This also will set me up next year with, I believe, 5 picks in the first 2 rounds of our rookie draft. So, you know, just that's another thing in the back of my mind. I don't know that I'm going to compete this year, but I think that I have set myself up well in that league to potentially compete going into next year. So we'll see what happens. But, again, another one of these trades that I don't have an issue with anyone taking either side of this one. I think, you know, they're both good players, Gordon and Hunt, and the picks are, you know, picks right now. So, but yeah, that's why I did it.
All right, cool. And I pulled it up on Twitter. It was 59% to 41, the Kareem Hunt side. So congratulations, you actually won.
Thanks. Got the approval of the Twitterverse.
Yeah, I've always been saying that we need to find a way to work Twitter poll results into points in the Trade Addicts leagues because, I mean, there needs to be a reason that I post all of these things, right? All right, so that's that trade. And now this isn't a specific trade I want to talk about, but I want to talk about these two players because it seems like they're karmically linked in my trade talks for the past week. Tevin Coleman and Marvin Jones. Two people on this podcast traded Marvin Jones and Tevin Coleman to each other within the past week. And in other leagues, I don't even know why. It's just I offered Marvin Jones for Tevin Coleman in another league, and someone offered me Tevin Coleman for Marvin Jones in another. So it's weird. So I just want to talk about these two guys and where do you value who? And if you were to do this trade, what side would you want, if any, would you want extra value to be on? Brian, you were not the person I did this trade with, so I guess you should go first.
Yeah. This is an interesting trade. I like this deal a lot for both teams. For me, this is about as even as it gets. I've talked about in the past, we've talked on the show about Marvin Jones and how severely undervalued he is in the Dynasty community.
That's my boy.
So, you know, I like Marvin Jones a lot. I think he's the best wide receiver in Detroit for sure. But I also like Tevin Coleman a lot. And I think if, you know, the thing that everybody hopes happens is that Tevin Coleman leaves the Falcons and finds a feature back role with another team in the NFL somewhere. His contract. Right. So he's got one more year in Atlanta. If they do not sign him and he does test free agency, you know, I expect that he'll be in high demand and probably land a lead back role. So
do we think there's a chance that the Falcons pay big money to two running backs? Do people do that anymore?
I don't know. No, I don't think there is. I really don't. I think the one thing that could happen that could change all of this is it could be Freeman that ends up getting shown the door. I know they paid him, but he may end up getting traded, or I'm not sure what that contract situation is. I know it's a big one, but I don't know the dead money involved in that. If Atlanta moved on from him, you know, if they decided that Coleman was the guy that they wanted to lead their backfield, but, either way,
yeah, but it still results in Coleman.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what I was just getting ready to say. Either way, Coleman is, you know, he's hopefully in line for, you know, a feature role. If he gets that role, you know, I really like him. I like him a lot. You know, the guy's been a running back too, as a backup, essentially, for the Falcons.
In each
of the last couple of years. So, you know, he's producing RB2 numbers as a backup. So what's he going to do when he gets a chance to lead, you know, to lead a backfield? So, you know, I like both of these guys a lot. These are guys that I'm going after in my leagues trying to acquire. You know, I think their value is probably pretty close. Again, just depends on team makeup and how you value wide receivers versus running backs just overall. Coleman, I think, is 25. Jones is 27, I believe. But, you know, for me, again, this one would come down just to preference or team makeup. I like both of these guys a lot, though.
All right. So clearly, if it wasn't Brian and me who did the trade, it was me and Rod. So you just super took advantage of my Marvin Jones love. Let's just call it like it is. and I was resisting at first. I didn't want to trade away Tevin Coleman because that was my one share of him, and I wanted that he might be a free agent excitement on my team. But you dangle Marvin Jones in front of me. How do you actually like Marvin Jones, or did you just know that I did? And what do you think the value you got in that trade? Well, what do you think about the value you got in that trade?
I like Marvin Jones. I also believe he's the best receiver in Detroit. So my thinking was, I love Tevin Coleman. I love the prospects of Tevin Coleman. I tell people all the time, they're like, why do you go for Tevin Coleman? I was like, Tevin Coleman 2019 could be Jerick McKinnon 2018. Like, that's what we're buying. That's what we're buying. So, I mean, here was the trade. I gave you Marvin Jones, and I dangled the first. I gave you a first-round pick in 2020?
I believe that's correct,
Yeah. And then I got Tevin Coleman. And this goes back to me saying earlier in the podcast, I want as many picks as possible because I still have a 2020 first-round pick. I don't mind shelling out a 2020 first if I have a second one for a guy that I absolutely love. Like, my running back core for this year still features CMC and Jordan Howard. Like, I don't need Tevin Coleman this year for all intents and purposes. I really don't. Mm-hmm. But in 2020 or 2019, you could be looking at Jordan Howard, McCaffrey, and Tevin Coleman all being RB1s. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with giving up that first-round pick and a good receiver.
Yeah, no, and I clearly took Marvin Jones because I love Marvin Jones and felt bad about trading him away last week. But I have my home league where I tried to get Tevin Coleman, and I have that in that team. I have Odell, I have Diggs, I have these players that have all of this value, and then players that have zero value. So the closest thing I could think to trade away was my poor boy Marvin Jones. But you added to Marvin Jones in our trade, really, I think, just because you wanted Tevin Coleman that badly. Like you said, you go get your guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a first 2 years out, really, I mean, a first, but 2 years is a long time to wait for return on investment. So it was a pretty easy add. I almost traded Marvin Jones for Tevin Coleman, and I think it was a future 19 second. That's a lie. It was the 205 this year. That's why the two is in my head. And she was all about doing it, but the clock ran out and she drafted, auto drafted. But again, one of the fun things about fantasy football and trading is that two people value players so differently, where, you know, Rod added something on the Marvin Jones side, and I almost got someone to add something to the Tevin Coleman side for Marvin Jones. So I just wanted to talk about these guys because they seemed so interlocked in my present being right now. I think you brought up before we started recording the show, Brian, with your numbers, that their ADP is actually right next to each other for April, right?
Yeah, I think they're like 7 spots apart in ADP.
Yeah, so, and when it comes down to that, I know ADP and trade value aren't always linked, but usually when they're that close, you could get a pick on either side depending on how people feel about the positions. My show sheet way. That's the end of our show sheet. So I guess, Rod, why don't you pimp yourself out, what you do, where they could find you, and all that fun stuff.
All right, y'all. Appreciate y'all having me on, first and foremost. I always love talking fantasy. So you can find me on Twitter, it's at SportsSavi, my first name. So sports and then SAVI. I'm also a Top Shelf DFF co-host with my boy X, who you guys know. I believe you guys live like 10 minutes from each other.
Yeah, weird.
So you can find us on there, and, you know, I'm always wheeling and dealing, so I'll retweet trades, vote in trades. You can find me on the internet.
Yeah, that's what this is all about, bringing the community together through trades. So like I said, that's the end of our show sheet, so that's the end of our show. Have a good evening, afternoon, or night whenever you're listening to this. I just used that in the opening, and I used it again. Don't care. Listen to it. I don't care. So, all right, I'm going to stop rambling. Have a good one, Brian.
You too. Good night.
Bye.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addicts Podcast. Please follow us on Twitter at Trade Addicts Pod and follow our hosts at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian Haar FF. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review. Have a nice day, and we will see you next time on the Trade Addicts Podcast.